recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh my, my. Pre-gaming one more time to make sure you're ready for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals here as the Cup is in the house in Tampa tonight as the Lightning look to close out the Habs. We're going to talk to SiriusXM's Jim Boomer Gordon from NHL Network Radio to help us preview tonight's game. We've got plenty of Preds talk as well. It's all brought to you by Day One sponsor Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirits store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery Nashville, with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee, and the man Carter Church with KW Murfreesboro, your real estate expert. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson, who is not with us tonight, and of course Preds insider and all-around good egg Zach McCann. Zach, how are you this evening?
Doing fantastic, you know, in the immortal words of Monty Python's in the Holy Grail, Quest for the Holy Grail, the hockey season continues to not be dead yet.
Nope, it's not. They're not dead yet, and it's getting better. Boy, I tell you what, you have to give Montreal a whole boatload of credit coming up with a win when, honestly, I don't think anybody except anyone with the real blue blanc and rouge glasses on would expect. But really, really good hockey game on Monday night, and I expect more tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was funny because I saw someone placed a $50,000 bet on the Canadiens to win on Monday night. You got to think they're a pretty happy camper on that.
Yeah, well, considering, I mean, the long odds on that one, yeah, he probably made some money on that.
So you know, it is funny, though, because honestly, I don't know if you really have to give it up to Montreal for that game as much as you have to think that, okay, the hockey gods gave them every bounce in the world.
Well, it's about time they got them.
I mean, yeah, to be honest, you know, Tampa Bay hit, what, 3 or 4 posts. They went 0-for on their power play. Not only that, they started off the game, what, Montreal didn't get a shot until 8 minutes in, for goodness sake. And that's when I knew they were winning the game. When they took the lead after the sheer dominance that happened by Tampa Bay, you knew at that point hockey's funny, hockey's weird, and Montreal was winning.
You survived that first onslaught. That's the key, especially when you've got a team looking to close it out. You know, that was the key for Montreal, no question. But I also think, you know, I did hear that the International Brotherhood of Iron Workers was asking for dues from the Lightning for the how many posts they hit on Monday night. But I think another key in this was Carey Price. Carey Price was Carey Price. He came up with the big saves at the right time. And much like games 3 and 4 in 2017, when Pekka came up with the big saves at the right time, this playoff is kind of playing out a lot like that 2017 series, Zach, except for it's not 2-2 tonight. It's 3-1 with Tampa still having a chance to close it out.
Right. And I think it is interesting that you have that kind of mirror that is happening in the 2017 series with that exception. I do think the series is probably over tonight. I think having their fans behind them and the fact that Tampa is 13-0 since the sweep at the hands of Columbus, I think that has to tell you this is probably done. But Lord knows the Montreal Canadiens, they're like cockroaches. Every time you think you stomped one out, there's 3 or 4 more left over.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really look at and say about this series and about this game tonight. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, didn't mean to cough there. It hit the cough button quick enough. But in this one tonight, Montreal is also 4-0 when they're in a closeout situation. That makes a difference.
Yep, they're 4-0 until they're not. And this is definitely going to be a situation where I think 4-1 is going to be a sterling record for them in their closeout scenarios. This is not the same as the Toronto series where you saw the monkey that is already on Toronto's back continue to grow into that King Kong-like proportion. Tampa is a team with a killer instinct that knows how to win. At this rate, their skates on the throat. They were playing with their food a little bit on game four, and now they're ready to step down and just end this thing tonight is my
opinion. I think we see Phil Pritchard and the gang tonight bringing out the cup, and we'll see how much Gary Bettman gets booed when he announces it tonight. I don't know if he remembered last October. I think that was the first time that he's presented the cup that he hasn't been booed.
Right.
Although I think I heard a few from some of the families. I'm not sure. But, we got plenty more to talk about. Game five coming up tonight. But, Zach, first off, Brent is on vacation this week and next, but he will join us for the season finale. And just so you can plan, next week is a 6 o'clock Wednesday show. And our season finale, we're moving to Thursday night because the expansion draft is going to be on Wednesday, July 21st. So we, of course, want to talk about that. So we moved the show to Thursday night at 6 p.m., the Slapshot Radio season finale. So, we're getting used to talking hockey in July. This is the second straight one we've done that on, Zach. So let's turn our attention to the Predators, though, because interesting things have come out on this very radio station. Predators general manager David Poile, certainly came out with some news and said, last week, hey, ideally, we want to strike a deal with the Seattle Kraken so there's certainty as to who we would lose. Interesting words from the general manager, because it's got to make some guys nervous.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that Ron Francis essentially told him, look, if Arvidsson is left unprotected, that's who we're taking. So that illuminates certainly why that trade happened, which I'm sure we will get into later on tonight. But looking at the strategy for the expansion draft, I do think that it does make some interesting moves happen for David Poile, considering the dearth of defensemen that he has and who he's going to have to protect there. Means that in this case, he probably is going to go the 8-player route and protect probably at least the top 4, if not the top 5 defensemen. And then it's probably Phil Forsberg. It's probably, Luke Cunningham. And after that, I'm not sure who the third forward is, because then it's open season. I would be surprised. It might honestly be Ryan Johansson, just because it seems that between the two players who that everyone is thinking might be gone, that Johansson is the one who's probably a little safer in this case. But I don't know what the move is now, because this Arvidsson move just makes everything more interesting for what is going to happen next when it comes to the expansion draft.
Yeah, the move to trade Arvidsson, of course, happened on July 1st. Nashville gets a second-round pick in the upcoming draft, a third-round pick in next year's draft, which I think it is interesting. David Poile, again, came straight out and said his discussions with GM Ron Francis of the Kraken was one of the reasons why the Predators traded Victor Arvidsson. And again, RV was a huge piece of this Nashville Predators team. And the reaction on social media is absolutely predictable, especially when it came to Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg, both reacting fairly negatively to the news.
And I get it. I mean, there is a human element to this game.
Sure.
That's, I never like it when my friends leave jobs, but that happens sometimes. And unfortunately, this is a business. And if you look at that in pure analytical business terms, their employees did not get the job done. So they have to bring in new employees. If you wanted to keep working with that guy, maybe a few more goals, maybe a few more wins. In that case, if you perform, we're talking about, boy, I can't wait to repeat as cup champions, instead of who else from the core is going to be broken out and taken elsewhere.
Yep. And it's even funnier because we're looking, if you are following some social media, you got to give the social media manager for the Seattle Kraken a lot of credit. He or she is having a heck of a lot of fun on Twitter, trolling some of the other teams. My personal favorite was Seattle's response to Columbus when they asked to have somebody write a poem for them, and they started out with the age old "Roses are red, violet," the jackets are blue. Seattle comes back with our eye is red, the deep is blue. We can be friends, still going to take a player from you. So, I mean, they're having a lot of fun on social media with it. I mean, we're not too far away from this expansion draft. And if I'm to hold a gun to your head, who do you think the Seattle Kraken take?
Cale Yarncroke.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
It's going to be either Cale Yarncroke or Colton Sissons in my mind. I think that's who's going to go. It's going to be one of those two. And again, you know, it's been discussed before, but I truly think it is the case here where these teams, it's the mirror of what happened in the Vegas expansion. Only this time, Cale Yarncroke is playing the James Neal role and Colton Sissons is playing the Cale Yarncroke role.
It is interesting how things do tend to come around, that's for sure. Well, we've got Jim Boomer Gordon from NHL Network Radio coming up next here on Slapshot Radio as we take you all the way up to game time, game five of the Stanley Cup Final, coverage starting right here on 102.5 The Game at 7 p.m. And hey, we do want to talk to you about our premier sponsor on Slapshot Radio. They have been with us since the first show and every show since. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio is Dr. Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. I'm telling you, they got a great staff, comfortable environment. They make it so easy to get your dental needs taken care of. All the latest in dental technology, I'm telling you, you got to check them out. There's none better. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Somebody hit the recorder. It's Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nice call. I like it, Kenny. I like it. A little old school Steely Dan going new school. I like it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Indeed. Slapshot Radio, Zach McCann, Paul McCann coming at you. Your weekly hour of hockey mayhem here on The Game 102.5. And you know what, Zach? The interesting piece, they've announced now the first ESPN coverage of a hockey event is going to be on Wednesday, July 21st. They will be covering the expansion draft live from Seattle, so looking forward to that. But we're going to turn our attention to Game 5, and you know what? We figured we had to bring in one of the foremost experts. He is one of the only guys we could get tonight. No, I'm kidding. It is Jim Boomer Gordon from NHL Network Radio on SiriusXM. Boomer, how are you tonight, my friend?
Well, first of all, I'm proud to announce that I will be watching the ESPN expansion draft from my cottage. Next week is my last week before a little summer R&R, so I'm going to watch the end of the Stanley Cup Finals, jump in the car, go to the cottage, and I can look forward to the rest of the summer NHL festivities.
I like that. That's good stuff. So Boomer, I have to tell you, I was a little surprised at Montreal coming back and at least, you know, getting at least one win in this way after the first three games. What's the reaction in the Great White North? You know, do people think that, you know, they have a chance tonight?
You know, I think finger on the pulse of the hockey community. Paul, I think it's the opposite. I think that there's a lot of arrows, and I think they all point towards Tampa hoisting a Stanley Cup this evening. I think they've established through four hockey games that they're the better team. Montreal hung in with them in game four, got the game to overtime, survived a four-minute penalty to Shea Weber in overtime, and managed to win the hockey game on a Josh Anderson goal. But Tampa Bay, I think, through four games, clearly is the better team in the series. They're on home ice. They haven't lost back-to-back games in the playoffs in 2 years. I believe that's a span of about 43 games now. So all arrows point to them getting it done. They weren't able to win the cup last year on home ice. They had to win it in the bubble in Edmonton. So this is an opportunity to do it for the fans. They've proven the last couple of years they're closers. So they've got every opportunity to get it done tonight. And by the way, just I don't know if you were alluding to something. You were talking about the Great White North. I think there's a sense out there that Montreal now is Canada's team. It's the first team, the Canadian team, to make the Cup final since 2011 in Vancouver. No Canadian team's won a Cup since 93. I've never sensed that, Paul, if that's what you're alluding to. Like, I think people in Toronto would much rather see Tampa win than Montreal win. I don't think Montreal is Canada's team whatsoever. I think Montreal is Quebec's team, and I think in Toronto, they'd much rather the Lightning, even though the Lightning are a natural rival of the Leafs. So, yeah, I think the sense is Tampa gets it done tonight, but, you know, hockey is weird and anything can happen.
Indeed. We're on the line with SiriusXM's NHL Network Radio's Jim Boomer Gordon. You can hear him on The Point every afternoon on NHL Network Radio. Zach?
You know, Boomer, speaking of your show's namesake, The Point, one of the players that I have been most impressed with during this series is none other than Braden Point. What do you think it is about him that makes him such an electric player to watch in the playoffs?
Well, I think, actually, he's got to get electric tonight. He had one of the great runs in Stanley Cup history. He scored a goal in 9 straight games. Only Reggie Leach has done better. He did 10 for the Flyers. But since then, he's been held off the score sheet, goalless in 5, get a couple points in game 1. But he has no points in game 3. And in those 3 games, Tampa's only 1-for-9 in the power play. And that's supposed to be meal money for those guys. So if Tampa wants to get it done tonight, Point's got to get going. Stamkos has to get going. Even Kucherov has to get going. He's only got 2 points in the last 3 games. So I would like to see the big boys for Tampa step up. But to your point, Braden Point is an interesting case. He was, 79th overall in the 2014 draft. Coming out of Western Canada, they thought he was too small. They thought he was too slow. But he's worked on his skating, and he's just a really intelligent hockey player. You can say anyone can put up points playing with Kucherov, but I think it's actually hard to play with Kucherov. And they read each other very well. He's got that bumper position on the power play. He had a couple chances on Monday in game 4 to finish. He didn't do that. But for Tampa, up until this point in this Cup final, they haven't needed the big boys because they've got so much depth scoring. But at some point, if they want to put the hammer down on the Canadians, and likely tonight, I think the big boys have to step up. But I would look at definitely Braden Point as one of the guys who's going to have to get the job done at some point this evening.
You know, turning attention to some other stories that are coming up in the National Hockey League, and I'm kind of curious to get your take. Who do you think the biggest surprise that will go to the player that's the biggest surprise that will go to the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft?
You know what, Paul? I'm not convinced that there's going to be that many surprises. When you talk to people around the league, it feels like every team in the NHL has that guy that they'd like to unload to Seattle. I know Nashville has a couple. We had this conversation the other day, or yesterday. But Seattle isn't in the business of taking other people's bad contracts. So I think there's 31 teams out there who would like to make a deal with Ron Francis, get something done to unload a contract to incentivize Seattle. But Seattle's only got so much cap space, and they don't want to inherit everybody's problems. I'm not sure Francis feels a need to inherit anybody's problems other than the fact that you're going to have to make him a real sweet deal to get it done. So, like, I think it's easy to connect dots and just say, okay, this team's going to be able to unload that guy. But Seattle, they've hired smart people. They know what they're doing. Unless you really sweeten the pot for these guys, I'm not sure that is what's going to happen. So, When Vegas did their expansion draft in the summer of 2017, they ended up with 3 first-round draft picks, their own and 2 others. One of those draft picks ended up being Nick Suzuki, who's playing for Montreal tonight, traded in the Pacioretty deal. I anticipate Seattle will likely do something similar to that. I think they will take on some contracts in terms of getting back a reward of resources of a draft pick or something of that nature. And I think they'll do really well with a flat cap. There's a lot of teams that really need Seattle's help. So I think they'll play it smart and I think they'll do it well. And I think they will do some significant deals, and you'll start seeing those next week. I'm just not convinced there's that big one out there because, you know, as you know, in Nashville, I don't think they're dying to take on someone's $8 million expenditures, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I think we know exactly what you mean. We're on the line with Jim Boomer Gordon from SiriusXM's NHL Network Radio. He hosts The Point every day on NHL Network Radio. Zach?
You know, Boomer, another thing that I find fascinating in this series is just who do you give the Conn Smythe to? Because you've seen some real heroic performances. Obviously, if Montreal pulls a miracle and they win, it goes to Carey Price and everyone's happy. But for Tampa Bay, who do you think is the person who has personified this run for them?
Well, I think it's a coin flip right now. I think you're either going Kucherov or you're going Vasilevskiy. The interesting thing about Kucherov, because I think he's probably the two seed right now, is that he's done something only, I believe, two players in the modern era have done, which is back-to-back playoff seasons with 30-plus points. The only other two guys, I believe, that have done that are Gretzky and Lemieux. So that's pretty high company. But what's truly amazing about that is he could do it back-to-back and not win a Conn Smythe trophy. I mean, Victor Hedman got it that last year. Victor Hedman deserved it last year. If they go with Vasilevskiy, that means Kucherov would have been the dominant statistical performer 2 years in a row in the Stanley Cup playoffs and not have gotten it. But my sense is that it just feels like this has been Vasilevskiy's year. I think in these Stanley Cup playoffs, it kind of has been the year of the goaltender, not just the final having Vasilevskiy versus Price, but you look at the tandem in Vegas that got to the third round, Varlamov in New York in the third round. It was nothing but expensive goaltending as we got closer and closer to the Cup final, and it looked more and more like the team with the best goaltender was going to win. I believe that has been Vasilevskiy. And if you look in the previous three series, Tampa has needed to get through these playoffs. All three closeout games were by shutout. I mean, this guy gets a chance to beat you, and he just locks you down. If they could shut out Montreal tonight, that would be four in a row. And I think that would be the deal. But I do believe that it's close enough that we're one performance away from either guy from tilting it. So if Tampa won tonight and Kuch had two goals, or if Tampa won tonight and Vasilevskiy had a shutout, I think that would be the tiebreaker. But I do believe it's close enough that it's still up in the air going into tonight's game.
You can listen to him every day, at least until he goes to the cottage, on NHL yeah. Network Radio, The Point. He's Jim Boomer Gordon. Jim, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We certainly appreciate you appearing on the show and your support of the show. And you have your enjoy the game tonight. And you know what? Have yourself a wonderful summer. We're looking forward to hearing you back again come September.
Will do. You too as well. Thanks for the time.
All righty, Jim Boomer Gordon from SiriusXM here on Slapshot Radio, and we will be right back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Life's been good so far, that's for darn sure. Zach McCann, Paul McCann coming at you on Slapshot Radio, the third to last show of Slapshot Radio's 15th season. And Zach, I do want to turn our attention a little bit to the Arvidsson trade and then what happens going forward. Because you look at it, the trade frees up an additional $4.25 million in cap space. The Preds are now, $23 million in projected cap space. You look at, okay, is it, does that money go towards Tolvanen? Does it go towards Ekholm? I mean, at this point, what do you do?
At this rate, I think the biggest problem is that you have that empty cap space, but I think the priority one is re-signing Mikhail Granlund. I think that's your first priority. I think that happens after the expansion draft, as soon as it's safe to do so. You could probably expect Mikhail Granlund being here under contract, just because it seems like both sides, especially Nashville, are interested in getting that deal done. The next thing is you're probably going to see Pecorine back here on a $1 million deal. And from then, I don't know if you see the Predators make a lot of moves in free agency. I do think that this is a signal that we are going to do not a rebuilding, but a bit of a retooling that is going on right now. And that David Poile is quoted as saying that I was happy with the second half of our season, but yet we weren't good enough to beat a team like Carolina. So I think we have to have some growth in our team. I think we need to go a little in a different direction. I'm not saying we're going to make a whole bunch of changes. I think it's time to make some changes. A lot of people would argue it's probably past time to make some of these changes.
You could absolutely make that argument, but so if you look at Granlund, what do you think the deal ends up being?
I think you're going to end up, he's probably going to ask for 5.5 and probably will settle at 5. I don't know if Mikhail Granlund is necessarily worth $5 million in a flat cap year. If you can get Mikhail Granlund for 4.5, sign him in a heartbeat to 4 years, and I'm thrilled with that. But I don't know what the actual number is going to end up being.
And one of the issues become, again, with a player like Granlund, 28 years old, is probably looking for a little bit of term in here, especially after going through getting traded, hitting the free agent market, and now potentially being able to hit it again. You have to think he's going to want a little term so he has a little bit of stability going forward.
I do think Nashville is a city where he will get a little bit of term in that regard. And never forget the allure of not having to move your stuff. If you can be on a team where you gel well with the coach and it's pretty much expected he'll be here for a while, then you can expect that Nashville is probably the front runner for him to be able to sign here.
You know, you look at it, you look at his stats with this team under John Hines. Looks like 24 goals. Leading the team in the 79 games he's played under John Hines. Second in points only to Philip Forsberg. His shot percentage is, close to 20%. I mean, this has really been a nice fit for Granlund, that it didn't seem to be a good fit with Peter Laviolette.
Well, the interesting thing is, and if you haven't looked at it already today, Adam Bingen of The Athletic made an article this morning all about re-signing Mikhail Granlund and what those numbers look like. He's saying that, it's most likely, according to Evolving Hockey, that he's going to get a $5 million deal for 3 years. I could live with that. I think, it would be better to get him 4.5, but at this rate, he's comparable to a Tyler Bozak or a Marcus Johansson. Those are two players that I wouldn't hate having. So if you can have Mikhail Granlund, who gels with this team, who brings kind of that veteran leadership, I don't mind re-signing him at all.
It's, again, so much to talk about because there are so many variables in this. When you look at the expansion draft, when you look at a need for this team to do some different things, to kind of just shake it up a little bit. And I agree with you, Zach. I think it is a little past time for a shakeup. I can't blame anybody on this because, obviously the last the last year and a half has just been absolutely insane. So you can see it. But at this point, it becomes almost criminal if you don't make some changes to make sure that this gets moving in the right direction.
Oh, I completely agree. At this rate, you're basically managing for your job at this rate. Not that I think David Poile is in any danger whatsoever, but to continue down this road, it has proven that window has shut for that core. And now if you want to make a run with a core that is getting older and overpaid, you need to do some retooling. And unfortunately, Victor Arvidsson was the easiest one to trade out of any of those.
For right now, yeah, absolutely. And then you look at, real good article also in today's Athletic from Scott Burnside, talking about the, five stars who could get traded in this, in this offseason. Obviously the first name that jumps out is Jack Eichel. But the other ones that jump out as a name that's familiar to Nashville Predators fans is Seth Jones. What does Columbus do with Seth Jones?
I mean, I think the writing is on the wall and there's not just smoke, but I think you can say, oh, look, something's burning when it comes to that rumor mill. That trade is going to happen this year. Columbus won't let themselves lose Jones for absolutely nothing. So you've got to expect that the one that I'm expecting him to possibly go to, which I would really not like.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I don't like to say it either, but Chicago just makes a lot of sense.
Different team than I thought you were going to say.
Oh, who are you thinking?
Because I'm honestly thinking if you want to talk about a team where that could really use him, will they pass on him again? And I'm talking about the Colorado Avalanche.
I mean, it would be interesting to see. I just don't think the Colorado Avalanche are going to have enough money to throw around to be able to afford to keep Jones. They might be able to get him for the run next year. I could see that happening. But I think whoever trades for Jones is going to have to pay a king's ransom, and it wouldn't shock me to see a sign-in trade. I'd expect to see Chicago involved in the mix. I'd expect to see the Philadelphia Flyers involved in the mix as well.
That was the next team that that obviously they talk about in the Athletic article a lot. That actually Aaron Portsline, the Columbus beat writer for the Athletic, says that he thinks that he may end up in Philadelphia. And honestly, Seth Jones would be an outstanding fit in orange and black, because there's another team that absolutely needs that stud anchor number one defenseman. So the other one that I really find fascinating on this list, I mean, they talk about Oliver Ekman-Larsson out of Arizona. That one really doesn't surprise me. But the one that showed up on this list that does, which really intrigues me, is Johnny Hockey. Johnny Gaudreau is on this list. And you wonder, is this something that Calgary does? I mean, this is talk about a team that needs a shakeup. You're talking about the Calgary Flames as well.
Yes, I agree. But that is a situation where I believe the team has pretty emphatically denied that they're shopping Johnny Gaudreau. Whereas in the cases of, you know, Dougie Hamilton and Seth Jones, both Columbus and Carolina didn't say no. Where, I'll be honest, it looks like he does need a change of scenery.
Yep.
I don't think he's thriving in Calgary. And, you know, I feel like I'm just going to keep saying this team. But, boy, the Flyers could really use a player of Johnny Gaudreau's caliber, and that'd be a chance for him to come home to Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
And you're right. It is a possibility there. I know Scott Burnside says that Anaheim would be an interesting thing. But the other thing you have to keep in mind on a Johnny Gaudreau is that he's getting – you really, when you talk about a player, you know, at his age, you know, and he's what, 25, 26?
Yeah.
His production has dropped in the last couple of years. Is this a guy that burned early and then has faded? Has the league figured him out? It's just that one is going to really bear watching to me, because there is a shakeup needed in Calgary. I don't know if Gaudreau is the one that starts that, but it certainly would be interesting.
Absolutely.
So we're going to swing back to the Stanley Cup final, getting started in about 19 minutes here on 102.5 The Game. Game 5, the Cup is in the house at Amalie Arena at Tampa Bay. Will we see Phil Pritchard tonight bringing the Cup out? We're not sure, but it'll certainly be a good one to watch. But another backstory on this is Tampa Bay Lightning forward Pat Maroon has an opportunity to do something that hasn't been done since 1963, which is to win the Cup in three straight seasons with two different teams. Zach, do you know the guy who did it last?
I do not.
Well, how could you not remember Ed Lützenberger, for heaven's sakes? I mean, come on.
It rolls off the tongue. That's a legend. Everyone knows.
I had no clue about it until I read it on NBCSports.com today. But, last time it happened, Ed Lützenberger, and honestly, it's the only time that has happened with three in a row with two different teams. However, there was one that happened back in 1920-22. The immortal Eddie Girard, of course, he won three in a row with two different teams. They actually won the Cup 4 years in a row. So Pat Maroon could really put his name amongst some who's he of NHL elite. But winning three straight cups, one with St. Louis and possibly two with Tampa, is one heck of an accomplishment for Pat Maroon. And quite frankly, the Lightning love him.
Oh, I mean, and that's just a guy that is your salt and vinegar, fourth line, quintessential grinder kind of player. And I mean, those are the kind of guys that you need if you want to win cups. And heck, if he ends up being a free agent, definitely take a run at any other team in the league.
Why not? I mean, you know, who knows? He could bring the luck with him. You never know. Hey, you know, I do want to talk to you about Carter Church from KW Murfreesboro. You know, I've known Carter for quite a long time. I have seen how his 20 years of media experience has driven his proven success as a real estate agent. I'm telling you, there's a reason people say Carter knows homes. You need Carter on your team if you're buying. You need him on your team if you're selling in this overheated, absolutely crazy housing market right now. Carter Church is a man that can help you through it. Call him at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church is your real estate professional. If you're buying, if you're selling, Carter knows homes. So you need to call Carter today. And we'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 1025, The Game. Oh, Kenny. Going out the Marvin, yes.
Vibe with me now.
I'm telling you, definitely vibing, no question about it. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, The Game. And Zach, obviously some bad news in the National Hockey League with the passing of Columbus Blue Jackets goaltender prospects, Mattis Kivlenix. You know, what a shame, a fireworks injury causing a chest injury that cost him his life. Just an awful loss for the Blue Jackets and for the league.
Oh, absolutely. You know, sending all of the good thoughts their way, and, you know, that pain will definitely be with them for a while and with the league for a while. Chance to have a goaltender with some real promise, you know, that kind of, you just, your heart breaks at hearing it. That's for sure.
Saw the news came over and immediately flashed back to the early 80s with the death of Pelly Lindbergh, Flyers goaltending prospect in the early 80s in a car accident in Haddonfield, New Jersey. I hope it doesn't have the same impact on Columbus, but he was certainly an up and comer. And we just send Slapshot Radio sends out our thoughts, our prayers, and our best wishes to his family and all that knew him. Just a terrible loss for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I do want to, you know, turn the attention now back to the Stanley Cup final game. You know, I have to bring this up. This is really interesting. There's a blog out there called Russian Machine Never Breaks. They focus on the Washington Capitals, but they come up with the occasional good one right now. But if I were to tell you, Zach, that since 1980, every Stanley Cup final has featured at least one of a teammate of Jaromir Jagr. Since 1980. I mean,
that's insane.
You know, you look at Brian Trottier with the, you know, that played with Jagr. Mark Messier, Joe Mullen, you know, it's just insane when you look at all these going back 41 years, and this year it's John Merrill. Jaromir Jagr is everything. So just fascinating thing I had to bring up because why not?
So, he's like the Yoda of the NHL.
Indeed. So a couple of things coming up. Obviously, the NHL season may end tonight. It may end Friday night. It may end Sunday night. But it will also end the run of NBC as the rights holder for the National Hockey League. And I come not to bury NBC, but to praise them. I think they've done an outstanding job in growing this game and being a great partner of the National Hockey League. If you look at where this team was back in, or where this league was back in the early 2000s, I really think that NBC has been a great partner, and I'm frankly going to miss the coverage. Pierre McGuire, maybe not, but I kid. Pierre's been on the show. But I think that is some fresh blood needed? Yes, I think we're going to see some fresh blood as ESPN and Turner Sports take over. But I do want to compliment NBC, and if you didn't catch this, they played a piece of a retrospective of the NHL on NBC, narrated by the one and only Doc Emmerich. And they've only played a piece of it on Friday night. They've got Monday night. They're probably going to play the entire thing after the cup is awarded tonight. So it's going to be interesting to watch. It's something you might want to check out. But I think NBC's done a heck of a job.
Yeah, they've done a decent job, I think. They've been the rights holder for a long time now. But I'm excited to see the new blood. I mean, just looking at the team that ESPN has assembled has me really excited to see hockey take a step forward. Not going to see your Mike Milberries. You're not going to see some of those missteps that they had, your Jeremy Roenick, those kind of ones. You're going to have great analysts. You're going to have ones like Linda Cohn. Having In the Crease coming back is a huge get for that. Having Leah Hextall as a play-by-play person for the league in that, excellent. AJ Michalko, Kevin Weeks still remaining with the coverage in that regard. And having people like Mark Messier, John Buchigross being able to do play-by-play. You're still going to have Brian Boucher being an analyst. So you're not losing all of those ones, but you're going to have some awesome new play-by-play people. I mean, just looking at just the list of people who are doing play-by-play, John Buchigross, Steve Levy, you've got Sean McDonough, a lot of different
Where's the new blood?
You're also seeing people like Blake Bolden.
Kidding you more than anything else. Yeah. I'm actually more looking forward to see what Turner Sports does. Because I like the fact that there are two rights holders right now, and each of them should push the other.
I hope so, because they do a great job with the NBA. I mean, that kind of coverage, especially as I've watched more playoff basketball this year, has been a lot of fun to watch.
And honestly, I think they did a great job with the match last night with Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady and, basically just a fun foursome to watch play golf. I mean, they had everybody mic'd up. They were playing with them. They were having fun. I kind of like that a little bit of irreverence that comes out from Turner Sports. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they bring to the table. So, Zach, Game 5 gets going in just about 15 minutes or so. What do you think we see tonight? Are we going to see Tampa raise the cup in front of their crowd?
I'd be very surprised if we don't, honestly. I think that Tampa is one of those teams that learns lessons from losses, and you can point to it in 13-0 since that Columbus. It's something I've said before on this very show tonight, but it bears repeating that this team, it doesn't take a lot for them to learn a lesson. And if you can describe any team in the league as having that killer instinct, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning.
No, I happen to agree. I think we'll see that. And you know what? The streak, I found this bizarro stat earlier this week and tweeted it out earlier, but that there hasn't been a sweep in the Stanley Cup final since 1998. Which was the year the Predators, started after that final. There has not been a sweep the entire time the Nashville Predators have been in the National Hockey League in the Stanley Cup final. Just a little bizarro stat that, in 24 years, we haven't seen it. It's really fascinating that you know, the competitiveness of this league has gotten better. The talent level has gotten better. And it's just fascinating to see that, you know, we're seeing this play out on the stage in the Stanley Cup final right now.
Absolutely. It's very, very cool to see just that entire network of players and just the level of talent that's on display. And I think the interesting question that I have for you is, do you think this is a fluke run for Montreal, or are they going to become – you do?
Yes, I do. Here's the thing. This will be the – you know, do they overvalue what happened? One of the things I've been impressed with David Poile this year is I don't think he overvalued the run that the team went on at the end of the year. It is very easy. You make this kind of run, it's very easy to overvalue it. Montreal has some good young talent. They've got some decent role players in there, but Carey Price is one of the reasons why they're here. How many years does he have left in him? Can they replace him? So if you're asking me right now, July 7, before Game 5, absolutely. Now, if they go on and win four cups, you can make sure that we go ahead and you know, mark this, and you can beat me up with it senseless as we go forward.
Fair enough.
And you know what? With that, that's it for this edition of Slapshot Radio. We certainly appreciate you joining us tonight. We appreciate all of our sponsors, and especially appreciate Jim Boomer Gordon joining us this evening. Hey, make sure when you visit one of our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Carter Church, any of those folks, you make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio, and you thank them for their support. For our producer, Kenny, our co-hosts, Brett Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.